Hello and welcome to Series 2 of SQUAD, the podcast from the military children's charity Little Troopers. I'm Joel M, TV presenter and magician. And if this is your first time here, then welcome. SQUAD is the place to come if you're part of a military family or if you have an interest in hearing about extraordinary people's life stories. In Series 2, we'll be chatting with a range of esteemed guests with many strings to their bows. Think sporting heroes, culinary legends, musical maestros, and stars of the stage and screen. I'm going to be chatting to them about their experiences growing up in a military family and how it didn't stop them from achieving success. As always, we'd like to start by hearing from some of you as you share your SQUAD stories, telling tales of some of the weird and wonderful things military life has thrown at you. Who have we got today then?
Hi, I'm Bethany. I grew up in a military family. I remember this one time when we lived in Kenya. It was Christmas at school and we had a Santa fly down on a helicopter and he gave all the children presents.
I'm Ed, and because my dad's in the RAF, I got to go to Canada when I was 3 until I was 6. One amazing thing that I learnt there was how to play ice hockey, and I've carried on playing that as we went back to England.
Oh, amazing stuff. Thank you so much, guys. Really enjoyed that. And it must have been so fantastic to live in Canada. I just got back from Canada. I got to be a ranger for the day on a farm. Wasn't very good at that, but I did get to ride a horse and I learned to ice skate as well, just like you. I was absolutely terrible at that and I don't think I'll be doing a round two. I'm going to leave that one to you. But so cool that you guys got to experience living abroad growing up. With my job, I live in Manchester, but most of my time is spent traveling around the world as well. And it's rare that I'm actually home. So it's cool to hear of other people that get to explore and see lots of different wonderful and weird places around the world. Now, listen, I'm very, very excited to speak to our incredible guests in this series. I love hearing all about people's journeys into their careers and how they decided what they wanted to do. Because figuring this out is hard at the best of times, isn't it? Trying to pick GCSEs, A-levels, and then make a decision about what to do after school and in your career is super tricky. Growing up as part of a military family and experiencing frequent moves amongst other unique challenges can make it even harder to navigate. In this series, we're delving into how your patchwork of military life can ensure that every single one of you out there can aspire to achieve anything you want. In this episode, we're speaking to Carl, an ex-RAF serviceman who's now moved on into a career outside of the forces, working on state-of-the-art aircraft that his colleagues back at the RAF get to go and fly on. I'll be honest, this is an industry and type of job that I know very, very little about. So I'm very excited to speak to Carl and learn more. Carl, hello, my friend. Nice to meet you.
Hello, nice to meet you too.
Now, Carl, you grew up in a military family and you went on to serve yourself while starting your own family as well. Now, you've since left and are enjoying an amazing career working on new RAF jets. I want to hear all about that in a minute, but let's start at the very, very beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences growing up in a military family?
Yeah, so I was born in a military family. Both parents served. My mum had left before I was born, but my dad had a full 25-year career in the Air Force. So I got all the benefits of that, getting to see all the fast jets, all the tanks and stuff like that. But also I got had to do all the moving around different schools and things like that. But yeah, it was an experience. It's something that I guess for me was just the norm. I didn't really come out of a military family till I was a 16-year-old anyway. So my whole childhood was, yeah, military based.
So your parents' roles, what were they specifically when they were serving?
So my mum was an RAF steward and my dad was an aircraft engineer.
Okay. The first one, can you explain that to me? Because I don't know everything I'd like to learn.
Yeah. So a steward, they have many roles within the Air Force. That's from working in what we call the mess. So like where the people live. They also do like air hostess kind of thing would be equivalent.
Gotcha.
So working on the airlines and serving passengers and that kind of thing.
Right, so they were busy all the time. I know you said you were 16, basically, by the time that wrapped up. How old were you? Were you literally just a newborn when they were already serving, or when did that start for you?
Yeah, I was literally born into a military hospital.
Oh my gosh, wow. Properly born into it.
Yeah, born in an army hospital with RAF parents.
Wow, goodness me. So I guess in that case, you were probably moving around quite a lot, or maybe not. What was that like for you?
So I think I moved about 4 or 5 times. Started off in Hampshire and kind of worked our way up, really, to the West Midlands, where we are now.
How did you find that? Because I know for me, I have to do a lot of travel with my job, and not as a child. It's a very, very different thing. It's stressful enough as a fully grown adult. What was that like?
The moving about bit, I didn't like, really. You kind of get settled and then you have your friends. Obviously, as the older I got, it was kind of there more in the back of my mind that obviously this isn't going to be stable. If I, settled, I guess is the right word. I will have to move again. So there was anxiety there, I guess, of having to move constantly.
Yeah. With changing friends and that sort of thing, was that something that you find difficult, or did you get used to it?
Yeah, I'm quite a shy person. So it's not something I got used to. I think, I found it quite difficult. And I do remember getting upset with, my parents crying, obviously leaving to go to a new place when I was quite young. Yeah, it's not something I ever got used to.
And so in terms of school then, that obviously moved about as well. So tell me a bit about that. What was the real difficulty with that? What did you struggle with?
I guess it's nervousness and anxiety of having to go into a new place. And as a shy person, I think it was all eyes on you because you're a new kid. And, it's the build-up of moving to somewhere new and then having to look around each different school to pick a school. And then, for it to be temporary and then having to do it again. Yeah.
I can't imagine it was pleasant. And then having to get to know all the different teachers and stuff again, I suppose you don't know then how long that's going to last. Was there ever an element of you're like, oh, how much do I want to get settled in because I might end up moving again?
It was exactly that, yeah. I remember I swapped schools at year 5 and year 6, and you kind of, you're 11 or 12 at that age, and it was, that was the worst memory I have, I guess. It was quite daunting.
Yeah. And were you often the only person in your class who was military child, or were there others?
So I'd say that especially over the last junior school, I was the only military child in there.
Did you ever struggle with that? Or was it something that you were quite proud of and enjoyed talking about? Or was it something that you felt made you stand out in a different way?
I think it made me stand out in a cool way. My dad working on aircraft and fixing things and flying all the time, it was quite cool to talk about.
Yeah.
But no, I never saw it as a negative thing at all. No, quite proud.
Yeah, good. I like that. Did the teachers in school, and I suppose your parents as well, do you think they understood that, or was it something that you were sort of left to?
I don't really remember whether my teachers knew or not. I don't ever remember ever having that conversation with a teacher, and it's not a question I actually asked my parents. Did they make my teacher aware? I'm not sure if it was what we did back then. I don't know.
Do you think that's something that would be a good idea now?
It does happen now, yeah. So obviously I've got a son, and when I was serving, he went to school, and schools now benefit for having military children. So yeah, they definitely knew that. Like my son, he was a military child, especially when I was deploying and stuff like that.
Makes sense. So going back to living in military sites, what was your experience of that like? Did you enjoy it? Did it feel separate? How did you feel about it when you were there?
It did feel separate in a way, because it was its only little estate. So it had loads of parks on. You were playing with other military children. So you're kind of all in the same boat, especially if their dads were deployed. We'd go around each other's houses and play, and it felt, I guess, more safe and secure because you had that military element to it.
Yeah. Were your parents ever deployed whenever you were younger?
So my mum wasn't, but my dad was. Okay. Quite a number of times.
Was he? What was the longest amount of time that you remember him being away?
About 5-6 months.
Right. Yeah. That's got to have been hard as a kid. Like when that happens, I don't know if you remember, but if you do, what would that have felt like when you were a kid? And there's some uncertainty there, I suppose, as well.
I do remember. I do have a memory of my dad carrying, his Bergen, his big rucksack on his back, and my mum holding my sister because she was really young at that point. And there was buses picking up all these soldiers to go, and airmen to go to well, away somewhere. At the time, I didn't know where, but everybody was upset and crying. And it was one of the memories I do have. I'm sure that was probably one of the longest times he was away for.
Yeah, for sure. And I assume that then bled into other areas of your life as well. It can't have been a nice experience. Do you remember what that was like in school, for example?
Yeah, it's coming home and not having your dad there is, you know, and back then it wasn't like you could pick up a mobile phone or an email and get in contact with him. A lot of the places he went to, we couldn't communicate at all. It was what was back then called the blueies, which were these blue envelope letters. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
No, I haven't. I haven't. So what are those?
They look like a blue envelope and they just fold out into a letter. So you'd write them back and forth. So you could go onto a military camp and go and pick some up from like what their equivalent to the post office. They probably had them in the shops and stuff like that. So yeah, we'd get one and then we'd write back. And we just, yeah, depending on where he was in the world, it depends how long it took for you to get the letters.
And then you have that waiting period in between. It's bad enough when someone's read your text and not reply quick. I can imagine that would have been a stressful thing. So moving towards school itself, right? Did you have an idea when you were younger what you wanted to do? Or was it in your head that you wanted to go down this career path? Or was that something that you didn't expect?
I think growing up in a military environment had that influence on me. It was something I wanted to do, I guess, from a young age. I mean, as a child, it was very much like, you know, I'd love to be a pilot. And then when I was 13, I joined the Air Cadets. And then, yeah, you know, when you get to year 10 and 11, and you're starting to look at what you want to do. That was always on. There was nothing else I was looking at.
Right.
For certain.
So then, tell me, what did you do in terms of qualifications? Did you do like GCSEs, A-levels? What did you end up doing?
Yeah, so I did my GCSEs. And then I went to college after for a year and did a qualification in public services, which covered everything really, from the army to the ambulance, paramedics. So it kind of gave me an insight into other things as well, rather than just being so focused on the military. But it also just confirmed to me that I wanted to join up. And I did.
Speaking of which, RAF, what attracted you to that in the first place? I know it was always the plan to go the military route, but specifically RAF, why for you?
I think obviously I had more of a taste of it through my parents and then doing the Air Cadets. The army were always kind of out in the field and doing soldiery type stuff, which I enjoy it in small doses, but not for months on end. And I'm not very good on ships.
Me too.
I think obviously my dad's bias to the Air Force kind of rubbed off on me as well. And it just felt like a natural progression, I think.
So then, Carl, you've done a lot in your career. Could you give me like a Carl's career overview since you left school and all the rest? What have you actually done? What are the highlights?
Highlights. So I managed to travel all around the world, from the Middle East to Scandinavia to the Americas. Started my tour off in Northern Ireland.
Come on.
Spent a year there near Belfast. It was an amazing place.
Thank you. Thank you. That's good. We can be friends. That's good.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. It's the first tour as well. It's,
no
it's
way.
Really quite unheard of getting sent out there. So it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Place.
I lived in Gibraltar for 3 years. Wow. I've been to the Falkland Islands. I've been to Qatar. I went to Finland. I did kayaking in Finland for a week.
Oh my gosh, you've been everywhere.
All these places, I got paid to be there as well.
Which is one of, I suppose, the perks of the job, innit? You get to experience a lot of things most people won't get to. Do you have a favourite place that you've been to? You're not allowed to say Northern Ireland because that'll be flattery.
Apart from Northern Ireland, Gibraltar. Definitely Gibraltar.
Gibraltar!
Yeah, I'd happily move there tomorrow if I could.
So in the midst of this, Carl, all the travel, you have had a son as well. How many years had you been serving until your son came along?
He was born in 2012 and I joined in 2006, so 6 years. Yeah.
So Carl, did having your own son put your own military childhood into a different perspective?
Yeah, I think, while he was young, the traveling around wasn't so bad, but I think from the very beginning, you know, we did decide that we would like a bit more stability eventually when he comes of age, school age, so that we weren't traveling around as much. Definitely.
Makes sense. Yeah. Well, learn from your own experience in that case and then maybe make things a little bit easier for him. So long old career in the RAF, you've experienced an awful lot. What do you think overall, skills wise, even just your own life philosophy wise, what have you learned from that career that you've now taken on to the rest of your life?
I think it's given me discipline massively. Mm-hmm. Being able to plan, it's kind of comes on to what I do now. Mm-hmm. It's given me so many qualifications with leadership and management, just being able to think outside the box and rather than put things to the side, face things head on and question things.
I feel like these are things that are really actually hard to learn unless you're put in an environment where it's important. Because, I mean, that's really probably helped you grow as a person.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I alluded to earlier, I was quite a shy kid growing up. I was never one to, you know, put myself out there. I'm very kind of, what's the word, introvert. And going in the military, it definitely brings that out of you, you know, being able to stand up in front of people. You know, I was at one point teaching, so stood in front of a class of people and regular presentations and that kind of thing.
Who would have thought such a shy kid has gone on to do so much stuff that involves other human beings like that? There you go. So I suppose my question is, if you had to sum it up, if you had to tell me the best thing about the job, but also the worst thing about the job, what would you say for people to look out for?
The best thing about the job is getting paid to travel around the world. The worst thing about the job, having to do Christmas guard, I guess, being stood on the front gate at Christmas time.
Oh, got it.
But you can't do the good things without having to do the bad things. So,
no, no, you know, that makes sense.
Work hard, play hard, as they say in the military.
So with that in mind, then obviously you made a change at one point. When did you get that feeling that you wanted to make a change and move into what you're doing now?
I think as my son was getting older, I'd worked out that I'd spent a significant amount of time, 2-3 years away from him. So I wanted to be a bit more around, a bit to be there. I think within my RAF career, I wouldn't say I had exhausted everything, but I just felt like I needed a new adventure, a new change. So at that point, I started, you know, applying for jobs and seeing what was out there.
And you've obviously got one that you enjoy. For the people listening that don't fully know what you do, can you explain your current role?
Yeah, so I work for a company called BAE Systems. And within the company, I'm what you call a senior production planner. I currently work on an aircraft, and we're calling it the Combat Air Flying Demonstrator. So it's a one-off aircraft that we're building within BAE.
Wow. It's not just a normal plane then, this thing.
No.
This thing's different.
No. This hasn't been done now since, this hasn't been done within 40 years. So it's,
wow.
I guess the reason why they're calling it a demonstrator as well is to show that we're demonstrating that this is still doable. And this is, you know, because within 40 years, you would have lost all that experience from people retiring and things like that. So, yeah. It's currently what I'm doing.
It's a very different role from what you were doing before. What do you enjoy about this job that you maybe didn't get from your last part of your career?
Guaranteed to go home every day. But apart from that, using everything I've learned in the Air Force, like the planning side of things, I mean, I enjoy it all. It's hard to pinpoint. I think that the flexibility of it all, being able to be part of something that's not been done in decades.
So you're obviously proud of being part of the team, I can tell.
Yes, yes. I work in a team of 5 or 6 people, and it's, you know, every day is a good learning day. It's one thing about this job is within the Air Force, you kind of within 6 months, you know, if when you move new roles, you know what your role entails, whereas this is so wide and vast. Every day you're doing something different or learning something new.
That's nice, though. I think you grow faster when you do that sort of role, right? And you get to experience a lot of different things. Actually, bearing that in mind, what did you have to have qualifications-wise to even get this job in the first place?
I didn't really have to have any. It was purely based on previous experience. There were parts within the job application that was not essential, but a preference.
Okay.
But I think, obviously, going for an interview, they covered all that up with my experience.
Yeah. So obviously then a career in the military has helped you get this job. And then some of the skills you mentioned earlier, like discipline and all the rest, I imagine that then helps you in the job you're in now.
Yeah, definitely. Because within the role I'm a planner. So I have to make sure that I plan everything within another plan, if that makes sense. So I'm hitting targets all the time, and having that discipline and just helps making sure that you're hitting your dates and your times.
That makes sense.
On time.
Gotcha. Yeah. So Carl, with this job, what are the actual responsibilities? What do you have to do day to day?
So my role in simple terms, it entails, obviously this is a brand new aircraft that's been designed. So once the design parts have been released, I then track the parts through a system, a sort of basically a chain, we'll call it, supply chain, making sure that the parts are made on time to the build plan. So in essence, it's making sure that the logistics behind it is all ready for the people to do their jobs as well. It's like more like enablement, an enablement job.
Gotcha. So whenever the plane is in its final form and you see the physical parts, you had a big part of the process of making sure they were actually there in the first place.
I guess that's one of the big bonuses of the role, is obviously a lot of these parts I see on paper. And once they're developed, I can physically go and see it. And, you know, having a rough idea of where they're going to be located and stuff like that. It's kind of seeing your plan coming to fruition.
Makes sense.
Along with everybody else, obviously.
Of course.
I'm a cog in a massive wheel.
Every cog's important.
Yeah, I feel massively privileged to have the opportunity to work on something like this. It's not every day you get to do something that's so kind of, you know, new and exciting and, yeah, never been done before. Well, it has been done before, but not in my lifetime, I guess.
So obviously you've moved in a different direction. You've got this brilliant new career. Do you still feel part of the military community?
Yeah, so within BAE, I'm kind of very lucky to be part of a people enabler group, and it's called Forces Net. So it's a mixture of people that are veterans, reservists, cadet volunteers, anybody within the public services, and anybody that wants to be affiliated with the military. They join this, and I'm actually the membership officer, so I'm kind of there. I have a role within it. So luckily I get to speak to kind of ex-military people constantly. And this is kind of where this has leaded me to today, actually. It's come from that group of people. Yeah, so though I do miss being part of the Air Force, I still get that feeling that I'm part of a military family in some way still.
That's a lovely thing. And it's good for people to know that that's something that's out there and available as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Carl, I want to thank you so much. It's been lovely speaking to you. Your answers have been really, really interesting, and I've learned a lot as well. So thank you very much. Before I let you go, though, we do have some questions from our listeners.
Hi, this is Daisy. I want to be a detective when I leave school. I really enjoy problem solving and figuring things out. How do you approach difficult problems in your job?
Wow, a detective, what a job. Very impressive. Yeah, definitely. How do I... I write things down and think of everything I could do to solve that problem. And then if I'm struggling, I always ask for help or speak to somebody else to get their advice too.
Really good advice. There you go. Hope that helps, Daisy. We have another question now from Molly.
Hi, I'm Molly. And did where you live as a child of a military family dictate where you live and work as an adult?
No, it didn't. No. The world's your oyster, as they say. I was willing to travel anywhere to get a job that I wanted. So certainly being a military child, you travel all over the place anyway. And as an adult, you can go even further if you wanted to. So like I went to Gibraltar for 3 years.
Right. Yeah. I suppose it gets you used to the travel, and then actually it limits you less because you're used to moving around. Yeah. So as you say, the world is your oyster. Well, great answers, Carl. Thank you. And fantastic questions from you guys as well. So Carl, finally, to wrap things up, what is the one piece of advice that you would give to our listeners who are deciding what they want to do when they leave school?
Plan. Make sure you don't ever get sidetracked or put down. Have your plan A, have your plan B, and have your plan C, so that you know if plan A doesn't work, go to plan B. If that doesn't work, go to plan C. And I can assure you, as I was told, you'll always find your place somewhere, and everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer of that. Work hard, pass your GCSEs, do well at school. That's the most important bit of advice, I'd say. Well, you know, do well at school.
Gorgeous advice. And thank you so much, Carl. It's been wonderful speaking to you. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope it's been really, really insightful for the people listening.
Thank you very much, Joel. It's been a pleasure.
Oh my goodness, Carl is such a legend. And it was so lovely to hear him speaking about having a real feeling of belonging in the military community, even now, years later. And who knows, maybe that'll be something that'll be true for you guys in later life too. Something to think about. As always, please get in touch to share your thoughts or leave any further questions for Carl. You can find us on Instagram, email us, or leave a comment on the podcast platform. All our details are at littletroopers.net. Oh, well, that sadly brings us to the end of Series 2 of Squad. What an amazing series. I have to say, I have loved meeting all of the incredible guests and hearing all of your squad stories. We've heard from Chef Adam Handling, actor Shelley Conn, professional rugby player Tom Smith, drummer Jas Kayser, and production planner and ex-RAF serviceman Carl Barnes. You know, I have loved hearing about people's experiences and life stories, and how growing up in a military family has shaped the people we've spoken to. As you've heard and will know, it isn't always smooth sailing, but the resilience and determination on show has just been incredible. Look, I never would have thought that the military would have linked a chef, an actress, a sports star, a musician, or an engineer, but it just goes to show how the skills you learn from growing up in a military family can be applied to so many scenarios, and it's something I'm sure you're doing, even subconsciously, you never know. Well, thank you so much for spending this series with me. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have, and I look forward to seeing you all soon. All episodes of Squad are now available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. Squad is a Little Troopers podcast produced by TBI Media.